That's why. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and open up to Luke chapter 1. I shared last week that we're taking a break on our journey with Jesus because every year I ask the Lord to show me something in the Christmas story about Jesus that has to do with our finances. And this year, this is what he gave me, a story of trust. How many people know that if you don't trust someone, then you're not going to be willing to give them something? Does that make sense? If someone's hurt you, maybe you trusted someone and you gave them a toy for a kid. You let them borrow something, maybe your remote control car or maybe your American Girl doll. And you got it back and the doll's face was scratched or the car doesn't work right anymore. The next time they ask to borrow something or to have something of yours, you're probably going to go, no, right? Because you don't want your stuff broken or hurt. And then as you get older, sometimes it's our hearts. We open our hearts to people and we want to trust them, but then we get hurt. And so we close our hearts up and we say, you know what, I'm not going to trust anymore. And I can't tell you how many times I've been in church since I was, born. So, it's the truth. I can remember, sleeping on pews because services would, at night would go longer on Sunday nights. Or I can remember playing in the church Sunday school rooms with my brother and some friends of ours. And so I've been in church a long time. That's what I'm trying to get at. We used to play hide and seek. It was fabulous. It was really cool when all the adults left the sanctuary and you played hide and seek underneath the pews. The big long ones. It was awesome. Anyway, so it pays to be raised up in church. So, but I cannot tell you how many times that I have heard this from someone who loves the Lord. I can't trust God with my finances. I've tried tithing and it doesn't work. Maybe it works for you, doesn't work for me. So I've decided I'm doing it on my own. And every time I hear that, my heart just grieves. Because other kids may disappoint us. Adults may disappoint us. The world around us may disappoint us. But can I tell you someone that's never going to disappoint you? And that's God. He is never, ever going to disappoint you. Never. Never. But sometimes in our thinking, we have a timeline that we put God on that's not his timeline. Amen? And so if you've ever felt like you couldn't trust God with your finances, this series is for you. And if you aren't here every week, then you should listen to it online. Because this is a story of trust. If you have your Bibles, open up to Luke chapter 1, verse 26. And this is the beginning of a story. So this is chapter 1. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to the city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting was this. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he will be great, and he will be called Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I have not known a man?" And the angel answered her and said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, that Holy One that is in you will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month of her who is called barren. For with God, nothing is impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, I am the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. And so often we hear this part of the Christmas story and we go, "Wow, that is so cool. That is so cool. That she said yes to God. Woo! Go Mary," right? But I want you to stop and think for a second. In most Jewish cultures at this time, a young girl would have been betrothed between 13 and 15 years old. 13 and 15 years old. If you were found to not be a virgin when you were married, your options were one. You know what that was? You were stoned. You were taken out and you were stoned. So we look at this and we go, that is so incredible. But the Lord showed me this week, hers was a ginormous step of trust. Ginormous. Ones that we can't even fathom. It's not about writing out your tithing envelope and placing it in the offering basket. This is about putting your very life on the line. She had no idea what Joseph would say. In those days when you were betrothed, it was as if you were married. They just hadn't got to the ceremony yet. But that was it. When you were betrothed, he was the one you were going to marry. There were no others. That was it. So she has to look ahead in her future and she has to go, okay, what's Joseph going to say? What are my parents going to say? What is the community going to say? And in most of those questions, she already knew the answer. She had lived in this culture her whole life. She'd probably already seen what had happened to other girls who'd have this similar circumstance. And we look at it, and the angel's talking about how this child is going to be the Most High, and he's going to be the Son of God, and he's going to change the world. And in her heart of hearts, she's probably sitting there going, what about me? How many times have you heard a preacher get up and say, if you will give your tithes and offerings, the Lord's going to bless you. He's going to provide for you. And you've thought that thought, what about me? God's saying today, it's all about you. It's all about you. His love for you is so huge. And as we look at the story of trust today, and we begin in Mary's life, I don't know where you are in your finances, but I felt so strong about this today. But the Lord is saying, some of you, the Lord has been showing things to, dreams, visions, things that you want to do in the future, and you're not sure what your husband's going to say or your wife's going to say. You're not really sure, wow, what are your parents going to say? And you're not really sure what the world around you is going to say. But can I tell you something this morning? You can trust him. You can trust him. I love what the part of the message that the angel brought. He brought in an element that helped her, I believe, to be able to take that step of trust even further. He brought in her cousin Elizabeth. Now, families weren't as close as they are now because they didn't have phones or cell phones or emails or Twitter or Snapchat, right? It was snap walk, right? Because you had to really be snappy if you were going to walk to the next city in any amount of time, right? But she probably had already heard of Elizabeth's barrenness because that was the inability to have a child. That was kind of almost a disgrace in those days, not to be able to bear children. And her husband was a priest, so it really was a heavy, right? And the angel says to her, your cousin Elizabeth is already 6 months pregnant. Because with God, nothing is impossible. You look at her answer didn't come after he said how incredible her child would be. Her answer didn't come after he said that she was favored. Her answer came after he told her about Elizabeth and reminded her that nothing is impossible with God. Then her answer was, behold. Okay, Lord, now you've got my attention. I have seen and I have heard what God has done. And it was a reminder to her, nothing is impossible. If you sit in Redeemed Church for any amount of time, you have to hear and you have to know that with God, nothing is impossible. We have seen financial miracles. We have seen emotional miracles. We have seen physical miracles. We have seen people that they said should die, that should not be here with us, that are still here And they're not just here laying in a bed. They're back to work, doing their jobs. Why? Because nothing is impossible with God. We have seen in this church people who didn't have jobs that now have jobs. Not just, okay, working at this place over here. No, jobs that have insurances, jobs that have benefits. Because God does exceedingly and abundantly above all you could ask or hope or think or imagine. So today, if you're struggling with, do I trust the Lord with my finances? Let me say to you what the angel said to Mary. Your brothers and sisters in the Lord, they've gotten miracles. With God, all things are possible. Stop holding back your trust with the Lord. I want you to take the past and leave it there. Leave it there. That's what Mary had to do. She had to take the past and leave it there. Everything she'd seen or heard before about this situation, she had to leave it there. And she had to choose to step out and to trust the Lord with her future. And wow, what a future. Amen. God shows himself over and over and over again. I love it. She leaves this point and she goes straight to Elizabeth's house. And I love how God is. He confirms her the moment she walks in the door. She probably hadn't told anybody at that point about the angel. She just knew she had to get to Elizabeth because Elizabeth was already carrying a miracle. And she gets to Elizabeth, and the first thing out of Elizabeth's mouth is, "Woo! Son of, or mother of the Lord Most High, when you walked in the room, my womb leapt. Wow, that was powerful. You are carrying the Son of God." It was an instant confirmation for her. Because that's how God is. He will confirm his word to you. If he asks you to step out and to trust him, he will confirm his word to you. Whether from his word or someone calling you out of the blue saying, "Yeah, I've been praying for you today. And I've been praying that about something God's thinking about doing in your life." I know it may not make any sense, and you're like, "He just talked to me about that. Okay, yes, I know this is what I'm supposed to do." Amen? Because God's not a dad that just leaves you to do your thing after he tells you. No, he walks with you every step of the way. So today, can I just ask every one of you to put all the past behind, what you've heard about finances and tithing and offering. Put behind you all the times that you thought God failed because he didn't meet your time frame. And can I ask you today just to give him a clean slate? Can I ask you today to be like Mary and say, "Lord, I'm your maidservant, I'm your son, and I'm choosing to trust you. Let it be as you say." Can you do that today? Amen. Grab your tithes and offerings. Father, we just thank you so much for your word. It's alive and active. And Father, it never ceases to amaze me how, Lord, we can open your word and see something new every time if we're looking. And Lord, as we discover this story of trust that you've given us in your word regarding this Christmas story, Father, I just pray, Lord, that we would begin to see you in such a way in our finances that we've never seen before. Mary had to trust you with her future, literally, the next day, the day after that, the day after that, the day after. She had to trust you. She had to trust you with what Joseph would say, what her parents would say, what the people around her would say, and what they would all do, Father. But she trusted you with all of her heart. And Father, you were faithful. You were faithful. And today I pray, Father, for every person in this room, wipe away every thought, every religious thought, every words that people might have spoken of doubt or concern or worry or fear. Wipe those things away when it comes to us tithing and giving and being faithful stewards of our money. God, we're not going to put you on a timeline. You have the greatest timeline. Our job is just to be faithful to give. But all the blessings we have seen, Father, the debt cancellations, the ways you have provided for people when they weren't working and money kept coming in. God, you were faithful to wipe away debts. You were faithful to provide for daily needs. God, you are faithful. And so today we choose to say as Mary did, "Lord, let it be as you say. We are your servants today, and we will trust you in our finances. Bless every seed that's sown, and bless the giver, and let this be the greatest Christmas season ever for people in their finances. Let there be such an outpouring of finances that when it comes to January, our bank accounts have money in them. Money that we can give to every good work, Father. Extra, overflowing, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.
Handsome?
Went away.
Okay. That's a good thing. Amen. Praise God. Well, the Lord is so good. Y'all, if you want to move toward the front, you can. The kids are in the backs, and we let them, you know, kids are kids. They're not bothering me with their activities and things. But in our atmosphere here, we just got to focus in a little bit. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, let's pray over this word today and just get right into it. We got a lot of fun things ahead, but let's not miss the word that the Lord has for us today. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for giving us eyes to see and ears to hear what your Spirit has to say to us today. We receive your words with thanksgiving, Lord God, and praise. And we just thank you, Lord, for the ability to be here today, Lord, to have church today. That you'd bless this hotel, Lord God, and all the business of this place, Lord God, and help people around here to know Jesus. And we'll give you the praise. Somebody say amen. Amen and amen and amen. Well, as we move on toward the Christmas story and everything, and God is so good, we're going to have some great times. But I have one more message on promotion through praise. Somebody say promotion through praise. And really, Christmas is all about praise anyway, right? What did the angels do when they announced Jesus was born? They praised. Amen. And they led those shepherds in a midnight church service that we'll get to see the rerun someday, I think, in heaven, right? But what that must have been like. Hallelujah. But we're specifically, the past couple weeks, we've been focusing on David, and our theme for the year is promotion. Amen. The Lord stirred me up about this time last year that our theme for 2019 would be supernatural promotion from the Lord. Amen? So be believing for that, looking for that in your life, whether it's in education, business, ministry, your health. My health has improved this year. Financially, we're improving. Amen? And just be looking for God to be involved in your life. The Word of God is all about God being involved in the lives of people. And if you're a people, say amen. So the Lord is still very much about being involved in the lives of people. People who will come to him. Amen. He doesn't force himself on people. But as he told us this morning, the door is open. Amen. So praise the Lord for that. But our foundation text for this message has been Psalm 78, verses 70 and 71. Does anybody need an outline, or are you all good? You can. And this will be posted at our website as well. But Psalm 78, verses 70 and 71, and the word says this. He also chose David. Somebody say David. His servant. And took him from the sheepfolds, from following the ewes. That's fun to say. Ewes. That had young. He brought him to shepherd Jacob, his people. And of course, you know, the Jacob, you know, his name was changed to Israel. So we're talking about Israel, right? And you and we all are grafted into God's family as well. So this includes me, right? To shepherd Jacob, his people, and Israel, his inheritance. Praise the Lord. So we're talking about, you know, at first the little shepherd boy, David, and he was doing what? He was out shepherding his father's flock, being faithful. He wasn't cheating and you know, smoking weed out there and right, and swapping, you know, trading animals with other shepherds to make money on the side. No, he was being faithful to his father's house as a kid. So we got young people. I'm a young people. I'm almost 50, but I'm still in. If you're under 100, you're still a young people compared to the Lord, right? We're all kids. We're all his children. So David, as a little guy, was being faithful, serving the Lord, serving his father, you know, full of integrity and, you know, fellowshipping with the Lord out there. He probably had a lot of quiet time to himself. He probably wasn't talking to the sheep. You know, if a wolf, you remember in the story of Goliath, and he said, you know what, when I was out there, if a wolf, or, you know, what did he say, a lion or a bear, that's what it was. So that insinuates there were probably multiple times, or a lion, or a bear. Now, yesterday I spent some time with the guys playing, what is that, airsoft, and it is not, there's nothing soft about it. I dressed up like a Yeti. I had a full-body Yeti costume on, and I was running around hiding from people that were shooting at me. And some of those things hurt, man. And I wanted to hide. I was wearing a Yeti costume, and it was air soft, and I didn't want to be seen out in the open, right? Well, here's a kid and a lion or a bear. Here come the lion or the bear, or maybe both at once. And he doesn't even think twice. He grabs that thing by the face and crushes him and kills it with his bare hands. I mean, this ain't no normal kid here, right? Amen. Well, that's a heart after God. He understood his covenant with God even at that age. This is my dad's sheep. I have the authority and the right to kill anything that would try to hurt my dad's sheep. Now, that's the heart of a shepherd. Amen? And that's probably why he, you know, in Psalm 23, he refers to God, the Lord is my shepherd. Amen. Now, that's a revelation he had as a kid. Praise the Lord. But the point here is that set him up for a lifestyle of promotion with God because his heart was right before God. And we know there were times, they're recorded well in the Bible, where David flopped, made big mistakes. Amen. Psalm 51, that's another sermon. But Psalm 51 was David's heart of repentance to God after he was called on the carpet for the mistakes that he had made. But we're not here to talk about it. I'm so glad that when we get to heaven, God's not going to call me out and talk about my mistakes. Many believe this. They believe that when they get to heaven, there's going to be, you know, like Jerry World, you know, Cowboy Stadium, that huge replay monitor at the 50-yard line, and we're all going to be sitting there. Okay, let's start with Steve. And you're going to be like, ah, flames. Like, I'm all powerful, Oz. How dare you think that, you know, you're going to crawl your way through the gates. No, somebody say no. The blood of Jesus has cleansed you of every sin. As long as you've admitted it to God, you're not hiding stuff from the Lord. Just the Lord, yeah, that was me. I did it, guilty. But by the blood of Jesus, you are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So you don't go around confessing to people you're just a messed up old sinner. No, you confessed your sins to God. Now you have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. And the Holy Ghost helps you to live for the Lord every day. Praise the Lord. But David is such a great example of how keeping a heart, and that's what God called him. He said, I'm going to find me a man after my heart. And that's who David is. David was, right? But I want to look at three things. First, David's praises. Somebody say David's praises. Right, and then David's promise, say David's promise, and then David's promotion, say David's promotion, amen, praise the Lord. Because I'll tell you what, God doesn't change. God doesn't change. He'll do the same thing for you that he did for David, that he did for Moses, that he did for Noah, that he did for Daniel, that he did for Jesus. Now that will shake some religious people up. What are you talking about? Well, yeah, he'll do the same thing for you he did for Jesus. Same God. Somebody say, same God. Same God. Amen. Well, 2 Samuel chapter 6, and you can read on your own time the entire chapter of that, but specifically verses 12 through 22, and I think I'm just going to go ahead and read that to you. So verses 12 through 22. It was told King David, so he's king now, right, saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because, somebody say because, right, of the Ark of God. So David went and brought up the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. Now, the Ark of God represented the blessing of God in those days. Amen? You can read more about that through the Old Testament. But verse 13 says this, and so it was, when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, that he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. So here's King David sacrificing. He's thanking God. Sacrificing is a symbol of praise. Now, we don't go out and sacrifice little sheep anymore, right? And lambs and bulls and all these kind of things. But back then, that's how you did it. That's how God told him to do it. But somebody say, Jesus is the Lamb of God, right? So he was the all the animals up to that point were a symbol of one thing. Jesus was going to do the work once and for all. Amen? But in those days, that's how, so David is worshiping God. Thank you, Lord. We brought the ark up. We brought, and he's sacrificing all these animals, right? Then David danced before the Lord with all his might. Amen? And David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of a trumpet. Now, this is the king, okay? And I love it where you know, a lot of guys are kind of, they have the idea that church is for women. that God is for women, you know? Weak people. You know, the weaker sex. I have one family that I've heard about that the dad says, I love when you go to church because you come home happy and that helps me. Well, praise the Lord. You're getting blessed because she's happy. But you ought to be in the church too. Amen? Praise the Lord. Here's a good example. The king. Somebody say the king. Leading the worship service. Dancing and acting all undignified. With all his might. Just shouting, praising God, and hallelujah, and twirling around. And he wasn't putting an act on. He's worshiping God. Amen. So he's a great example of the behavior, the attitude, and the heart that God will promote. Somebody say, no pride here. No pride here. He wasn't into how am I going to look. This man didn't care. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, verse 16, Michal, Saul's daughter, which was his wife, right, looked through a window. So she wasn't even going to come outside. She's like, oh, this is just embarrassing. How's this going to look? She's like, I know someone's tweeting this, posting this. It's going to go viral. Amen, right? What's his enemies going to think? No. So he didn't care, right? Why? Because he knew his relationship with his father, with the Lord, right? So she looked through a window, saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. Somebody say, bad idea. Bad idea, right? So they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Then David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. Now see, here's a man who's treating the presence of God with respect. Treating the presence of God with honor. Amen? He wasn't a king that was all about his thing. He knew, listen, this is the God who put me here. This is his kingdom. These are his people. This is his stuff, not my stuff. I'm going to lead the way in worshiping him. God's looking for men and women to lead the way in how to honor God, how to worship God, how to love God, how to live for God. Amen, right? That's the heart he's going to promote. So verse 18, when David had finished offering burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. Then he distributed among all the people, among the whole multitude of Israel, both men and women, to everyone a loaf of bread, a piece of meat, and a cake of raisins. So all the people departed, everyone to his house. So now he's blessing the people. Amen? He's not just raking it all into himself, hiding it in the castle. No, he knows why he's there. I'm here to bless God and bless God's people. Now, that had to be a lot of food and stuff that went out. I mean, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of people. One of my favorite scenes in It's a Wonderful Life, you know, when they're dedicating the house and he pulls out, you know, the bread and, you know, the wine or whatever it was, and they give it to the family and they say a blessing over their house. Well, here's King David. He's giving them food to all the people in honor of God's presence returning to the land of Israel. Hallelujah, right? Amen. Now, verse 20 says this. A couple more verses. Then David returned to bless his household. And Michael, the daughter, here we go. Here comes the confrontation. She's been hiding. She's been on Facebook or whatever, right? She's like, oh, you should see what people are saying. You should see what people are, who do you, what are you doing? Don't you know who you are? Amen. So she comes out to meet David and says, how glorious was the king of Israel today, uncovering himself today in the eyes of the maids of his servants, and one of the base fellows, like as one of the base fellows shamelessly uncovers himself. So David said to Michael, it was before the Lord who chose me instead of your father and all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore, I will play music before the Lord. He's saying, hey, listen, this ain't about me. Right? And I will, this is, I love this. And I will be even more undignified than this and will be humble in my own sight. Right? But as for the maidservants of whom you have spoken, by them I will be held in honor. Now that's a man of faith right there. There's a man whose heart is right before the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. So David's praises, and this is just one story. This is just one place where it talks about David's heart of praise and thanksgiving, giving glory to God. Well, let's move on now to in chapter 7, verses 1 through 16. If you got your Bible, you can flip over there. That's the very next, it's actually two verses away. All right. So it says this, now it came to pass when the king was dwelling in his house and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies all around. Glory to God. Doesn't that sound like a good life? I like the name Living Good. Living Good. That's my name. Well, here's a man who's living good right now, right? Because the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies all around. Amen. That the king said to Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells inside a tent with curtains. David said to the king, go and do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you. But it happened that night that the word of the Lord came to Nathan the prophet, saying, go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build a house for me to dwell in? For I have not dwelt in a house since the time that I brought the children of Israel up from Egypt, even to this day, but be moved about in a tent and in a tabernacle. Wherever I have moved about with the children of Israel, have I ever spoken a word to anyone from the tribes of Israel whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house or a house of cedar? Verse 8. Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the sheepfold, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel, and I have been with you wherever you have gone, and have cut off all your enemies, say all your enemies. Now see, this is the same God that will cut off all, and has, not will, has, somebody say, not will, has. Jesus has cut off all, somebody say all. Now, you might still be feeling some pressure from the enemies, from the flesh, from the, you know, the world, from the devil, whatever. But you have the victory in Jesus. Somebody say, I have the victory in Jesus, right? Cut off all your enemies from before you, and I made you a great name like the name of the great men who are on the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel and will plant them that they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more, nor shall the sons of wickedness oppress them any more as previously. We're getting to the main point here, right? Since the time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel and have caused you to rest from all your enemies, say all your enemies, right? Also, the Lord tells you that he will make you a house. The Lord is telling David, I'm going to make you a house. You think you need to make me a house? I'm going to make you a house. This is so amazing. Verse 12, when your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, when you die, right? I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name. He shall, somebody say he shall, right? He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom, somebody say forever. That's a wow moment right there. What? Nathan had to pause and say, now, what did you just say there? How do you want me to say this? Forever? Somebody say forever. Now, that's higher to get a bigger promotion than that. Right? A forever promotion is a big promotion. Right? Amen. Well, who are we talking about? We're thinking of King Solomon, but ultimately, we're not talking about Solomon. We're talking about the Lord Jesus Christ coming through the line of David and establishing God's plan, God's purpose, the throne of David, if you will, forever. Now, that's to me, that is a wow moment. Verse 12 says it this way again. When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you. He's talking about Jesus, right? Who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom, somebody say, forever. Now, that is quite a promise. Now, what did Shelley say a minute ago, though? With God, nothing is impossible. Amen? Isn't that glorious? Verse 13, and he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. There, he said it again. In case we didn't hear it the first time, he goes ahead and says it again, right? I will be his father. He shall be my son. If he commits iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men and with the blows of the sons of men. Isn't that what Jesus endured for us? The rods of men and the blows of men when he died? Amen. But to the devil, you know, the cross is in the shape of a T. To the devil, that T should remind him it was a trap. It was a trick. He thought he took everything that God came to do. But really, there was a tremendous victory that happened, a forever victory that happened through the line of this little shepherd boy. Wow. Somebody ought to say, wow. It's okay to sometimes look in the Word of God and just say, okay, wow. And then you just have to shake yourself and, you know what? I choose to believe this. He said my enemies are cut off forever. I choose to believe that. And I'll tell you what, we live in a nation today where we need to be believing God that our enemies are cut off forever because they're out there. Amen. And we need to be standing in faith, voting what the Word of God says to vote, praying for our leaders. Amen. Because there are enemies out there that the devil would like to use to kill Israel, the U.S., anybody who stands for godliness, right? But they're not our enemy. The devil's the enemy. Amen? But this promise right here that he made to David, somebody say, I'm in the line of David too. Why? Because your faith is in Jesus. I'm getting a little ahead of myself, but that's okay. I'm following myself too. Verse 15, but my mercy, somebody say my mercy. Isn't that what this is all about? Isn't that why we're in church today? We're not in church today to earn anything from God. We're in church today because of the mercy. The loving kindness of God is what has enabled us to be in church. So we're not here scoring points with God. We're here just saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for everything you've done for me. Amen. But my mercy shall not depart from him as I took it from Saul, whom I removed from before you. So see, God will even move people that seem right. If they're in your way, and you're right with God and they're not? Somebody say, I want to stay on God's side, right? It's like the question they asked Abraham Lincoln in the Civil War. Are we on God's side? Or is God on our side? And he said, no, that's not the question to ask. He said, the question to ask is, are we on his side? I love President Lincoln for that. Amen? And it's such a good question, right? Are we on God's side? So if there's somebody that's coming against you, bigger than you, tougher than you, richer than you, wiser than you, been around the office longer than you, right? But they are anti everything that you stand for and coming against you and coming against your life. The Bible says, touch not my anointed. This even happens in the church, guys. I'm talking about God's church, where people rise up pointing fingers of judgment at other ministries. Somebody say no. Last week alone, I had three different occasions where people came to me with issues about other national global ministries that they'd heard. And my response was the same. Let it go. They are doing a work for God. And I'm not going to sit here and spend a second, somebody say even a second, criticizing that national ministry, that global ministry. One of them was Brother Osteen. Somebody came with me with who's that rapper that just got saved? Kanye West? Well, yeah, I don't like that guy, but well, Kanye West. I was like, yeah, that's exactly why we need Brother Osteen, man. Because Kanye West knows who to call. He's not going to call Steve Livengood. He doesn't know who Steve Livengood is. But he knows who Joel Osteen is. And he knows he's going to hell if he doesn't get saved. He had a revelation. Uh-oh, who do I call? Who do I call? And the Lord put people around him that brought him the way of sin. And I heard a song of his on Air One or somewhere the other day where he's rapping for Jesus, man. So we don't spend a second like Saul did. Saul, listen, guys, he's such a great example of USA 2019. People spending all their time wanting to take down somebody who's doing something for God. Don't you think King Saul probably had at least two or three other things he could have been doing? Rather than looking for David in the wilderness of Ziph. That's what this is from. If you're wondering, what's that all about? Last week we talked about the wilderness of Ziph, where David had to hide in the strongholds because he was being hunted by a psychopath that once was chosen by God but went nuts because he went into pride and arrogance and it's all about me and yikes, man. Right? So we keep our hearts right. We don't get into strife. We turn off the social media. We turn off the news. We don't feed the flames of that trash. I don't care if it seems right. You shut your lips and praise God. Amen. Amen. I heard a story of Brother Copeland was sharing yesterday on his broadcast of James Robinson, wonderful men of God, both of them. And James Robinson is at this kind of interdenominational gathering of different believers, and somebody started telling him all the stuff he doesn't like about the Copelands. And Brother Robinson goes, hey, everybody, attention. This brother wants to pray for Kenneth Copeland. And he said the guy just broke and was repenting. Oh, praise God, right thing to do. Amen. Right? Hallelujah. Saul was not in line for promotion. But he could have been, even though he'd been rejected by God, he could have just said, you know what, I blew it. I see the call of God on this kid's life. I see that he's the one that's going to take my throne. Jonathan, we're going to love him as our own. Can you imagine what a force? And Saul would have died peacefully at a very old age. They would have ruled and reigned, and David would have been seasoned. Probably all the junk that happened in David's life wouldn't have happened, right? But no, Saul chose to reject all that stuff. Yikes, man. He was being demoted because of his heart, not because God said thumbs down. God did say thumbs down, but it was because of his heart. David was being thumbs up because of his heart. Somebody say, same here. Happens, same here. Somebody say, I'm keeping my heart right. How do you do that? Praise God. Avoid the trash. Stay in love with Jesus and love his people. Hallelujah. Now, I don't listen to everybody's preaching. That's okay. I don't got time, for one thing. Praise God for everybody's preaching out there. But there are certain ones I just feel connected with. But I'll tell you what, I don't spend a second of my time talking about why I don't listen much to so-and-so. I mean, there's people that write books about this kind of stuff, guys. Take a ministry and build a website. Build a following on tearing down ministers and ministry. I'm telling you what, that is of the devil, and that person will not be promoted in the kingdom of God. And I wouldn't want to answer for that. That will be on the screen at Jerry World. At the Cowboy Stadium, there are things that will be on the screen. It's called stuff like that. Stuff like that that went unrepented of. Somebody say, not me. And when it happens, I'm probably going to go, ooh. Lord, I'll leave that to you. Can you imagine we all had a green button and a red button? No. I think it's all pretty much done by then, right? Oh, I got time to tell you this joke that Pastor George said a couple weeks ago. He said, he's just obviously fictional. He said, now guys, this is all make-believe, but imagine this. St. Peter is at the gates of heaven, and people are arriving to heaven, and why should I let you in? Because of the great love of God. That's the right answer. This lady shows up. Why should I let you in? Because God loves me. Welcome. Now, could you man the gate for me? I have to go do a couple things. Well, she's standing there welcoming people, the love of God, the love of God. Or, you know, no, it's how do you spell love, right? L-O-V-E, right? And then you can come into heaven. So she's standing there. After several people come through, her ex-husband shows up at the gates. She's like, oh, how could he possibly have made it? He says, I know you're probably disgusted to see me here, but here I am. She goes, well, you can come in as long as you know how to spell Czechoslovakia. Oh, but you know what? That's how some of us believers got to repent of. You know, somebody say, stay in love. Stay in the love lane. You can't fail in the love lane. Amen? Hallelujah. God is so good. So, let's look at verse 16 again. And your house and your kingdom shall be established forever. Your throne shall be established forever. That is so wonderful. Now, closing at Matthew chapter 1. I won't read this whole chapter to you. But years and 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 years later, here we go. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 starts like this. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Next phrase. The son of David. I mean, somebody say, God doesn't forget nothing. You know, Jesus is God in the flesh, man. So God literally said, I need somebody that I can get myself into this planet through. I mean, how amazing is this, right? The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And in verses 18 through 23, now the birth of Jesus, okay, now we're talking about Christmas, right? Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. So, man, what an amazing man of God Joseph was. Right? To handle this honorably. Right? He didn't believe what she said. He's like, nah, this ain't right. She's going to die unless I do something. Right? So he's trying to handle this honorably. Right? But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream saying, Joseph, what? Son of David. Joseph, son of David. Somebody say, son of David. Wow. God doesn't forget nothing. Amen. Do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. and he will save his people from their sins. Glory to God forevermore. Now talk about a forever kingdom. A forever kingdom that came through David's faithfulness and praises to God and honoring and respecting the Lord. So in verse 22, so all this was done. Somebody say, all this was done. Isn't it cool to be on this side of it? Can you imagine being on the other side of all this? We can see it in the Word now. We have multiple decades and hundreds of years gone by, and we can say this has been done. Hallelujah. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Man, David's praises literally brought God himself into the realm of this world where he could get a hold of everything that was lost and restore it again. Isn't that glorious? Well, the thing that dawned on me this morning as I was praying and stuff, we're going to close it with this, but he still works the same way. Do you know, back then they were saying he's coming, and then he came, right? And now, what are we, the church, what's our job to do? Tell people he's coming, because he is. He's coming again. He's returning to get his people, to take his church home. He's returning to rule and reign over this planet. And part of the job of the church is to keep saying that, preaching that, sharing that. But I'll tell you what, the same God that came through the praises and the heart and the honor and the respect of this young shepherd boy is going to return to the planet again through your praises, through your willingness to keep a right heart with God. The same, he's doing, somebody say he's doing it again. There he goes. He's going to do it again. And I'll tell you what, the whole world will see him when he shows up that second time. Amen? First time, the rapture, but then when we all come back to rule and reign together. Isn't that amazing to think about? But not only that, somebody say, not, but wait, there's more. We love during the football game, sometimes there's a bad game, and we flip over to the cooking channel, and they're like, but wait, there's more. If you order now, well, guess what? There's more. There's more to this. If you will commit to live your life as a lifestyle of praise and thanksgiving to God, things are going to manifest in your life that God wants to do in your life. I'm talking houses, I'm talking family getting saved, I'm talking miraculous healings, I'm talking about supernatural deliverance. Somebody say promotion. Promotion. And it's unique to each person in this room what that means. So what do we got to get busy doing, church? Praising God. Just get busy praising God. And all these signs and wonders and miracles and supernatural manifestations of God are going to start showing. They're going to start popping like popcorn in your life. And we need to start seeing now, because I'll tell you what, they've been happening. They've been happening, but we need to get used to recognizing that when it happens. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand up on our feet, and let's just thank the Lord for his word today. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus, for your words. I receive it all, Lord. Now just praise him. Lord, we praise you. We thank you. We glorify you. We magnify you. We exalt you. We declare that Jesus is Lord. Somebody say, Jesus is Lord over my life, my family, my home, my school, my church, over America and all the world, Lord. We give you the praise and the glory, God, that you bless the rest of our day together. Bless all the food we're going to eat and our fellowship time. And we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. You are dismissed. We're going to hang out for a bit, and Shelley will tell us what to do next. Amen. Coffee's on.